young teacher from a city background, having trained, ended up in a very rural first appointment in school, and was having learnt, of course, that the best lessons are always helped by a decent visual aid, was extraordinarily proud of herself when she put up on, it's an old story, so we'll have a chalkboard, shall we, a picture of a sheep, and asked the class, thinking this was an easy first starter for a lesson, what it was, and was absolutely greeted with silence. After a while, she got a bit worried at the ignorance of these children with what was right under their noses all day, and said, "Doesn't anyone know what this is? Can't you even begin to guess?" To which one girl rather timidly put her hand up and said, "Well, miss, I can't quite decide. The head's more like a Romney, but the leg and the body is more like a Cheviot." I'm going to check. That's pretty reasonable for that, how bad that drawing is. Anyway, as someone who admits they grew up in the suburbs, I'm always slightly on edge when it comes to harvest and the parables that seem so obvious if we don't get them quite right from Jesus. And the ones we have in this set of little stories this evening are some of those that the late great Michael Green used to comment about in the teaching of Jesus. There are two sorts of hard sayings. There are the ones you can't understand, and then there are the really, really hard ones, where the lesson is fairly obvious, but the living is much the harder. And these series of parables we have this evening are very much in that latter mode. At the heart of them is a parable that speaks that growth occurs all of itself, it says, all of itself. And we might start discussing that. But Jesus, as he speaks to his hearers, urges them to be active hearers and recipients of what we spoke about this morning, the good seed, the good news. Don't just sit there, he says, and listen. Respond to the gospel of the kingdom. Be the good soil in which it will grow. And if they and we are claiming to respond, then we come to the first thing that Jesus speaks about, of a hidden glimmer. It's not about a seed, but his point is that once responded to, the good news of the gospel always has its effect. In the ancient world, where darkness was really dark, the light and the glimmer of the small oil lamp had an effect far greater than we would anticipate. Oh, it would be nothing compared with the light, so I have to be really careful not to look straight into the middle of, otherwise I can't see anything for a couple of minutes here. And all the light we're used to. But there, it had its effect. Don't hide the light, says Jesus. Don't hide the truth that lives within you. This is communicated to you, this good news of a God who loves us and a God who made us, of a God who has come to show and share himself with us. And for you and me, we're already part of the church for responding to the life-changing work of the Holy Spirit of God is that which enables the word of the Scripture and of Jesus to work, change, and transform us. No hidden glimmer, says Jesus. I remember once hearing an Anglican vicar interviewed, about how he'd made a core of part of his ministry, helping business people to relate faith and work, because he'd realised he'd failed deeply in the office in the City of London that he worked, because it was only when he was about to leave to train for ministry that people realised he was a Christian. And he was embarrassed to hear them say, "I hadn't realised." As God is at work changing us, something hidden going on inside, it comes out in our living if the gospel is in and working through us. That parable is really important for setting the stage for all the others, because it speaks always about that which is hidden, which comes to light, that which is small, which has its action and a greater impact than we can imagine. And so Jesus proceeds to speak in this about the hidden glimmer and the fact that actually what there is will never be hidden forever. It's a story of a highly skilled carpenter who had grown a little beyond retirement age, but due to his skills had been retained by his employer. And he told his employer that his plans to leave the carpentry and home building business were coming up in a few months' time. He'd missed the paycheck, but it was time to retire. His employer was sorry to see him go because he was such a good worker, and asked him if he could just build one last house as a personal favour. The carpenter agreed grudgingly, but actually he made sure it would be his last project ever. Being in the mood to retire, he wasn't paying as much attention as he'd been renowned for. His heart wasn't in it, and frankly, the workmanship was not up to his usual standard. He used inferior materials and didn't worry too much if everything fitted as well as it might. When the job was done, he called his employer and showed him the house. And the employer came along and handed over some papers to him and the front door key and said, "This is your retirement present." The carpenter was in shock. What a shame. If only he'd known that he was building his own house, he might have been a little more careful. And Jesus says, with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Often what's hidden just comes out in what's shown. And so Jesus moves on to a parable of a seed sown. And he speaks about this seed sown and the way in which in the ground, all by itself, it produces the corn. And this is where you've got to hope that the visuals work, because Joan's got some fast clicking to do. As it says, first the stalk, then the ear. Next slide, I would think. And then the full grain in the ear. The seed grows and grows and grows and becomes the plant. And of course, if it does its job, eventually it produces the seed that produces the next plant. And Jesus says that growth is hidden growth that eventually will show its way. We spoke this morning about the sense of the right soil. But this parable has three possible meanings. First, there is that sense of the certainty of the kingdom. Once the seed is sown, whatever the immediate appearance is, its purpose is to grow, and it will follow that through. Which brings me back to the question we asked this morning about how generously are we sowing? Because without the sowing, there will be no growth. The second interpretation is that God produces the harvest, and therefore the disciples, like the farmer, should put their trust in God. Which I somehow think, to some extent, shows that the writer of the commentary wasn't someone who lived in a rural area. And the third one is that it's a parable of contrast. As seed time is followed in due time by harvest, so will the present hiddenness and ambiguousness of God's kingdom be succeeded by its glorious manifestation. All of this is true, of course, and it comes together. No, I think I haven't quite got to that one yet. I haven't quite told the story that goes with the garden. Once the seed is sown, the work continues. But there will be many hours of labour to continue that growth so that it comes to maturity. And all too often, that's missing in us, in either our attitudes to the wide world or in our own lives. About 1976, the Methodist scholar and wit Gordon Rupp commented, "The thing about Methodism is that it's a mile wide and half an inch deep." And just as you're laughing, you might ask yourself, actually, is that quite so funny as it first appears? That hidden growth comes by God's care. Only in good soil that is properly worked. And so to the picture. Some years ago now, I remember visiting, and there's lots of places like it, but this struck me by the garden. It was Hodnett Hall in Shropshire. And it's one of those places with a glorious Victorian kitchen garden. And there was an explanation in it saying about the fact that whilst the topsoil in most of the grounds was 6 or 9 inches deep, within the kitchen garden, where the soil was looked after, where it was worked, where it was constantly fertilised and carefully cultivated, the depth of the topsoil, the fruitful soil, had grown and grown and grown as the fibrous material had been worked into it. In an ideal world, yes, our welcome should be a mile wide, but our depth, to be really fruitful, should also be much, much deeper. And then Jesus tells a story of a mustard seed. And if you aren't scratching your heads already, you really ought to be. Because this is a puzzling tale, this hidden glory that Jesus speaks of. It seems a reasonable enough story at first until you start examining it. A tiny seed indeed, planted in the ground, and it brings forth all the glory of the plants brought to maturity. But then Jesus says, "So the birds of the air can nest in it." Oh, you jumped ahead. Okay, that's the reveal ahead of the story. You see, I don't know about you, but I've never seen what there is. Oh, come back. I'd never seen anything other than a domestic Northern European mustard bush, like the yellow here. But in... Ooh, no, you've gone back. Okay, is it disappearing? In the Middle East, there is a mustard tree. Still has a tiny seed, but it grows to a huge size. Jesus and his hearers had that in mind. Do you hear that same thread from Jesus once again? The tiny thing that accomplishes out of all proportion to its size. The hiddenness that brings forth something later. Over and over again, Jesus reminds us, if we are feeling a bit like we are not all that we would want to be, that if we fulfill our purpose as God's people, as those who care for the planet around us, in doing the right things, in sharing the food we have, in being those who will offer shelter to those without, it may all seem like a very small thing we're doing. But playing our part has its part in the ecosystem, not only of the world, but of the kingdom. And the faithful, quiet work that we do will be gloriously manifested as all things go on. This is not just pie in the sky when you die, but the sure promise of the work of God, unexpected though it might be, here and now. You want to matter? You want real status? Here. It's here in the gospel of the kingdom, where Jesus is the Lord, the one who transforms lives and transforms the world life by life. And yet often, the early signs are missing. A 6-year-old boy was sent home from school with a note saying he was too stupid to learn. His name? Thomas Edison. Louis Pasteur was reckoned to be the slowest learner in his chemistry class. But he learnt, didn't he? Walter Scott's teacher called him a hopeless dunce. There was a boy expelled from his Latin class for slow learning and resolved to excel in English. The name? Winston Churchill. Whatever you make of some of these people from the past, every one of them early on came to very little, but later on, as they found their purpose and were used, fulfilled. If ever we feel insignificant, then know that in God's world and his kingdom and its service, no action in response to faith is vain. If we feel like we're that hidden glimmer, imagine if each of us could catch a glimpse of being excited to know that we are part of the kingdom's purpose, that the good news, the seed of the good news planted in us, is a witness amongst our family, our friends, our acquaintances, our colleagues. If we feel there's only hidden growth, imagine the joy we'll know as we deepen and help others to do the same. A hidden glory, yes. Yes, God's people. Don't apologize for being amongst the first fruits of what God is doing in this community, this year, We may feel like a hidden glimmer, but we can shine. We may feel like our discipleship is hidden growth, but we can keep on enriching the soil. We may feel our joys are a hidden glory, but the same Lord and God is still alive forever. So I ask you, just imagine. Just imagine from this harvest to the next how we can grow in all these ways naturally.